And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we about once each month have a volume of secrets. And I'm pleased to say this is secrets, and I can't remember the volume. I think it's about 122. So we've done 121, and today we're going to add to that. Hey, we've got a lot of interesting topics to talk about. I always like these little times. It's sort of a sharing time. It's, my opportunity to sit down with you, my good friends, and take some things from my files, recent and sometimes ancient, and go over them, some very interesting things. We always cover these things looking at, well, news and information you're just not going to find in your local newspapers or on television. And if you did, they wouldn't tell you the truth about them or the whole story. And we do that here because we believe that Jesus is the truth, and that he made us, human beings, so that we can know the truth. Now, regrettably, there are many who are not too interested in the truth. But for those who are, God is a great revealer of secrets. And we just go along with what God gives us. You know, a lot of people are frightened of what the world might do for revealing secrets that Satan or the devil doesn't want people to know about. But I was reading just recently Psalms 108, verse 13. And I love it. You see, verse 12 of Psalm 108, the psalmist asks, God, he says, "Oh God, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." Try to seek help from a lot of men, you'll find that you do so in vain. God, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. And the next verse, 13, says, "Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies." Boy, I like that. That's just incredible. Think about that. Appeal to God, dear friends, for help. Because God will tread down our enemies, and through God we shall do valiantly. Notice it doesn't say because we're Christians or because we're so powerful in our prayer life. It just flat out says through God we shall do valiantly. That means courageously, boldly, without fear, valiantly. And why shouldn't we march confidently into the future? Why shouldn't every day be a victory day for you and me? Because we don't have to conquer anyone. God, it says, it is he, or I like it even better, it's a little bit King James English, "For he it is that shall tread down our enemies." Wow. I love all the Psalms because they're so much powerful. I was just looking down the next Psalm, 109. A lot of people feel like they've been slandered in life. There are people that gossip about you. They backbite you. They lie about you. They spread rumors about you. In Psalm 109, verse 1, it says, "Hold not thy peace, O God." Verse 2 says, "For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Verse 4 says, for they are my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. That's what people will do to you sometimes. You offer them love, you give them love, what do they give you? Hatred in return. By the way, Psalm 109 is also the verse that I'm not so sure the gentleman that wrote to me a few weeks back liked it, but I hope he did. He said he noticed I didn't do a lot of praying for George W. Bush on the show. And shouldn't we pray for our national leaders? And I said, well, I'll be happy to. And I prayed Psalm 109, verse 8. It says, let his days be few, and let another take his place. And by the way, to be very fair about it, I prayed the same prayer when Bill Clinton was in office. So please don't say that I'm partisan by any means. Well, here's some secrets we're going to talk about very quickly. And on the second half of the program today, I'm going to save about 30 good minutes because we have a guest. His name is Victor Thorne. He's author of a new book called 9/11 Evil. Ooh. 9/11 Evil. And if you think you know all about 9/11 and who's really responsible, well, stay tuned because you're going to find out who I believe is responsible, who I know to be responsible, but the media won't tell you about it. But Victor Thorne does in his new book. An incredible book. It's not real long, but boy, it has a lot of information in it. You might be surprised to find out the true criminals behind 9/11, and they are evil, no doubt about it. Hey, talk about some evil people. According to Haaretz.com, now Haaretz is a daily newspaper in Israel, the nation of Israel, one of the most popular newspapers and most read newspapers, and they have a Haaretz.com online edition of the newspaper. It says here, and this was just recent, by the way, ultra-Orthodox Jews attack Christian tourist in Jerusalem. Hey, you better watch where you go in Jerusalem. You know, they love to take your money, and what some people misname the Holy Land. It's not the Holy Land at all because the Bible says that in the last days, Jerusalem will become as Sodom and Egypt. That's in the book of Revelation. Well, it sounds a little bit like Sodom and Egypt here because it says ultra-Orthodox Jews attacked Christian tourists in Jerusalem. Now, the story, the article is written by reporter Jonathan Leese, the Haaretz correspondent. Remember now, this is the number one newspaper in Israel. It's like our New York Times or Washington Post or Houston Chronicle. Let me read it to you. It says, a group of 50 pro-Israel, get that, pro-Israel Christian tourists came under attack Wednesday from some 100 residents of the ultra-Orthodox neighborhood of Mea Shearim in Jerusalem. Three of the tourists and a police officer were wounded in the attack. They were wounded. Three Christian tourists, pro-Israel, by the way. They went over to visit Jerusalem, and they were attacked by the Jews. Well, what did they do? It says, the tourists arrived at Mea Shearim wearing orange T-shirts with the words, love your neighbor as yourself, printed across them. As they neared one of the squares, this news report says, the local residents apparently identified them as Christians and began to hit them. How did they know they were Christians? They were wearing shirts, T-shirts with the words, love your neighbor as yourself. You remember Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love God. And the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. They knew right away it was Jesus saying, and they hated it. So much so they attacked these Christians. Police forces in the area, this article says, stepped in to stop the violence, but did not make any arrest. Get that, friends? They stopped the violence, yes, after one police officer and three of the tourists were actually wounded, had to receive hospital care. Amazing, isn't it? Wow. By the way, I have a bunch of chat page comments by Jews. They say things like, well, I think this is great. Another one writes and says, good for them. They deserve what they got. Another says, this should teach those stick-it-in-your-face missionaries a little lesson. Come to Israel and we'll sock it to your face. Another one says, stay home, you Christian haters. Christian haters. Tourist, pro-Israel, walking down the sidewalk, but their big mistake was to have shirts on that said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, here's another item from the Jewish side of the Twilight Zone. I have a lot of friends in New York State. They sent me a recent newspaper item from the state of New York entitled, Rabbis in the State of New York Sign New Health Rules. Evidently, there was a little problem in the city of New York. There are a couple of problems that have occurred that have, you know, barely come to light. Has to do with circumcision of little baby boys. Now first of all, the Bible, of course, in the New Testament says that what God is really talking about today is circumcision of the heart. But the Jews still want to circumcise according to the physical body, and it's the Jewish law. It says in this article that Jewish law concerning circumcision comes from the book of Genesis and also the Talmud, the Jewish law and tradition. It requires all boys be circumcised 8 days after their birth. Now, the circumcision has to be done by what they call a mohel. This is a rabbinical man trained in the ritual. Now, I'm not going to get into you, I'm not going to tell you the grotesque ways that they do it. I will just simply say this. They don't use a knife or a scalpel. They use their mouth and their teeth. Isn't that vulgar and grotesque? Now, I want you to think about that. A naked little baby boy, they lay him down, and while everybody is all around to celebrate, the parents and the friends of the family, this old rabbi, this mohel, comes in and puts his mouth over the little boy's physical organ and gnaws away at the foreskin. The problem arose, though, recently in New York City when it came out that one of the mohels that was most popular among parents in one of the synagogues was a flaming homosexual with AIDS. And a little boy got AIDS from the procedure. To have a homosexual AIDS-ridden mohel rabbi put his mouth over a little boy's and gnaw and chew away. You might be wondering, by the way, as sick as this is, what do they do with the skin and with the blood, and well, maybe this is where the idea of vampires came up. I'm not going to go any further than that. This is about as sick as it gets. Now, what were these rabbis doing signing an agreement with the state of New York? What was the agreement all about? It says there's new state guidelines requiring mohels to sanitize their hands. They've got to remove all jewelry, clean their nails under running water, and wash their hands. Well, isn't that just fine and dandy? And the circumcised area must be covered with antibiotic ointment after the procedure. And by the way, this article noted that there are hundreds of young Jewish boys walking around today who have many diseases, including herpes, from these Jewish rabbis that perform this sicko procedure. Friends, this is a sick, sick, sick religion. I'll bet you, of those listening to me, I bet you not one out of 10,000, not one out of 100,000 Americans, not one out of, I could go on, know about this procedure. Know that it's done with in this way. Well, let me tell you somebody else pretty sick. His name is Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, the governor of California. He plans, according to the California Star News of June 20th, he plans to headline a fundraiser for gay Republicans. In fact, he's already done it. It was a fundraiser for what a group called the Log Cabin Republicans. Well, isn't that just neat? And you thought old Arnold was a real manly man. He talks about girly boys, but it turns out he's a girly boy himself. The girly boy is speaking at homosexual fundraisers, getting money for gay causes up. Hey, come on. Men who go around posing naked on the front cover of gay magazines like Arnold Schwarzenegger has done. That's right. He has posed totally naked for the front cover of gay magazines. And now the Republicans have him as governor of the largest state of the United States. I bet you that really impresses all those Muslims around the world. Here is America. This is the Christian country. They've got a pro-homosexual movie star who posed naked for a homosexual magazine and is now conducting a fundraiser for the Log Cabin Gays. And that's Christianity in America. Makes you really want to convert to Christianity if you're a Muslim, doesn't it? And you wonder why we can't reach these people? And you wonder if George Bush is telling us the truth when he says, oh, the Arab terrorists, they don't like our freedoms and our lifestyle. Hey, I don't like some of our lifestyle either. Do you? Oh, my goodness. Whew. Talk about sickos. Here's another sicko. Of course, we've all been treated to the spectacle of this John Mark Carr and this JonBenet case, so I could talk about that, but I don't want to belabor the point. But, of course, he and Arnold ought to get together and, you know, compare notes or something. Here's an Ohio man, so we'll move to another state. We don't want to pick on California. They call it the state of fruits and nuts, but let's just move over to Ohio, the Buckeye State. A state actually I like a lot, but this man here, I'm sure many Buckeye residents would not like him. Ohio man claims right to have sex with boys. He sexually assaulted 9 boys. He claimed the right to do it. He said that his apartment was actually a religious sanctuary. He was a religious worker. He smoked marijuana and had sex with children. He said he was protected by civil rights law because he had freedom of religion to have sex with little boys. So he's got like his own church in his apartment. And he's a religious worker, some kind of a minister. What's worse is he's been charged with 74 different counts of rape, including the assault of 9 disabled boys. Friends, I know you're going to think I'm just a real mean, cruel man. What do you do with a guy like this? I think I know. It's called shoot the juice to the guy. It's called put him in a chair. It's called flip the switch. When you have 74 counts against you, and the man doesn't deny it, he says he has constitutional rights to do it, and 9 of the young boys sexually assaulted were disabled. Well, I'm sure a lot of Christian goody-goodies out there will say, oh, he needs rehabilitation. He does. And I think a noose around his neck for about 36 seconds would be proper rehabilitation for this man who is so injured and harmed, destroyed the lives of these little boys. And if that makes me a cruel man, well, then I'm just a cruel man. But I believe when I get to heaven, I think God will understand my heart. My heart goes out to these boys. Your heart, if it's sick, will go out to the perpetrator. Oh, it's not his fault. Probably his mommy didn't love him enough. She didn't hug his neck when he was a little boy. Baloney. But again, you know, that's me, and I know I'm just a meanie. But maybe some of you listening to me are also meanies. Maybe you, like me, are sick and tired of this. Too bad the man's in jail, or he could be attending a meeting of the Log Cabin Republicans in California and meet up with his idol, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, we keep going here with our news. Let's see what else we got. Hey, the Mormons. They haven't been in the news very much, but it's very interesting. Evidently, Dan Brown, who did the Da Vinci Code book that sold like 40 million copies that slandered Christianity, he's writing a new book now, and some say it could be about the Mormons, have to do with the Mormon Church and Freemasonry. Well, maybe so. Interestingly enough, I have some material here from my good friend over in Australia, who puts out a newsletter called Southeast Christian Witness. And evidently the Mormons are admitting a lot more about the origins of their church than they used to. And they think evidently that the American people are so dumbed down that they don't mind. They don't care anymore. And you know, I think they're right. I really do. Now, Donald Cannon, professor at Brigham Young University, a Mormon university there in the state of Utah, says that the first 5 presidents, now remember, this is a Mormon professor. He's a member of the Mormon Church in good standing. He's got a doctorate, and he teaches church history and doctrine at Brigham Young University, a Mormon-funded university. He says there are so many Freemasonry symbols that are similar to the ones that we use in our church. There is, for example, the all-seeing eye and the beehive. But that is understandable, says Professor Don Cannon, because the first 5 presidents of the Latter-day Saints Mormon Church were Freemasons, beginning with Joseph Smith, the founder of founders. The first five presidents were all Freemasons, he says. And he says, as Joseph Smith was being shot to death in a Carthage jail, he sent a Masonic signal to his attackers. He was shooting at them. They were shooting at him. And he was afraid for his life, so he sent a Masonic message to them. It was called the Masonic distress symbol. Fellow Masons are supposed to heed it and save your life. But they kept shooting and they killed him anyway. Must have been the fact that he stole their wives. They didn't much appreciate that riot mob. Well, the Masons headed out with the Mormons at first, and they excommunicated Joseph Smith because he took what he learned in Freemasonry in the Masonic Lodge and turned it into a religion. The Masons said, you shouldn't take our secrets and make them into a religion. But he did. And by the way, the Mormons have a connection with the Jews and with Israel. In Israel today, the Jews seem to have no problem with Mormons coming over and witnessing. Isn't that interesting? You go over just as a Christian tourist, you might get beat up by the Jews, by the Orthodox Jews. But if you go over as a Mormon, no problem, evidently. Here might be the reason why. Got a letter from a good friend from East American Fork, Utah. Grant is his name. He wrote to him and he said, scholars of Mormonism know that the church leaders, Orson Hyde in 1840 and George Smith in 1873, dedicated Jerusalem and the land of Palestine for the gathering of the Jews. By the way, in the book, Women of Mormondom, published in 1877, page 79 of this book states that Mormons build not temples to the name of Jesus, but to the name of Jehovah. Not to the Son, but to the Father. Hey, isn't that interesting? The Mormon temple is not built to the name of Jesus, but to the name of Jehovah. Of course, Joseph Smith was unaware that the Bible says if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. That's why they don't have the Father or the Son. Hey, Pat Robertson is in the news with a green gospel, according to WorldNetDaily.com. He's been converted to global warming. He says the recent U.S. heat wave convinced him that global warming is a reality. The environmentalists are right, says Pat Robertson. Now, old Pat, what he hadn't quite figured out yet, why it is that this year, 2006, is not the hottest year on record in the world. Did you know that? 1934 is the hottest year on record in the United States. Check it out with a meteorologist. Check it out with your World Almanac, dear friends. But we didn't have global warming back then. We didn't have CFC fluorocarbons. We didn't have air conditioning and all of these things. And we didn't have a lot of cars either on the road. We didn't have the freeway highway system. We didn't have big aircraft. We didn't have lawnmowers and all of those things. We didn't have global warming, but it was the hottest temperatures on record the summer of 1934. Yet Pat Robertson says the recent U.S. heat wave has convinced him. I guess he didn't go back and check his records about 1934. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll have Victor Thorne and talk about his book, 9/11 Evil. You don't want to miss it. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, recently I did a two-hour series here on Power of Prophecy entitled The Murder
of America. The murder of America. And I expose the Council on Foreign Relations and its plot to end America as we know it. To end American sovereignty. Even to take away our money and force us into a new currency. And I believe to level and impoverish the American people. Now, the interesting thing that I proved on in the tape series, The Murder of America, was that the Council on Foreign Relations has increasingly become Jewish. And over 70% of the membership, according to my analysis, and I have a full membership list, and I went over it with a fine-tooth comb, over 70% are Jewish. The president, Mr. Haas, is Jewish. The chairman of its financial operations is Jewish. And what we have then is a Jewish Zionist plot to end America. Now, you won't find that out from groups like the John Birch Society, the New American Magazine, and so forth, because they're in bed with the Zionists. That's my belief. That's my opinion. But you will find it out from a gentleman I have as a guest today. I want to introduce to you in just a moment, because he's got a book out that is, wow, it's an eye-opener. And I hope each one of you will order his book. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Murder of America. If you want to order this two-hour set, either on CD or audio tape, called The Murder of America, this special two-hour program I did, then call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. By the way, it's also available online at powerofprophecy.com or our sister site, conspiracyworld.com. Now, the gentleman that I'm going to introduce to you in a moment also has his website. We're linked to it. So when you go to powerprophecy.com, dear friends, or to conspiracyworld.com, go on to the links. Just push the little button that says links and look up wingtv.com. Wing, you know, like a bird wing or an aircraft, wingtv.com, and go to his website. I say his website. He also works with a precious lady named Lisa Giuliani. And I've been on their radio program, their TV radio program before. They do a tremendous job and they are fearless. And I appreciate that so very much. Now, his name is Victor Thorne. Oh, by the way, I better give him, Sandra, I'm always forgetting these things. You know, I don't work with a script. Our telephone number, of course, is toll free, 1-800-234-9673. And hey, for that Murder of America, it's $12 for the 2-hour tape set, $12. Please add $4 for shipping and handling, a total of $16. And send that if you'd like to just send it, $16 check or money order, to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Here in the USA. Now, let me get to my guest, because I want to take all the time we have for his book. His name is Victor Thorne. He's I believe he's the founder of Wing TV, wingtv.com, a very, very interesting website. He's author of a number of books, including a couple that have exposed the 9/11 hoax. But his most recent book is the one that caught my attention. It's called 9/11 Evil. 9/11 Evil. E-V-I-L. And I just got it last week. And I immediately went to my assistant and said, please call up Victor and ask if he would be kind enough to be on the program with us. This book is different than any other book. And I have to say, you'll want a pencil and paper, and you'll want to write down his website and his address and such. You'll want to order this book, and you're not, I doubt if you're going to be able to get it in a bookstore. Maybe you will. I'll ask Victor in a moment where it's available. But boy, you know, when you have a book that tells the truth in such a powerful way and exposes evildoers, well, they do everything they can to try to keep that book out of circulation. And this is one of those kinds of books, but maybe with God's help, we'll sort of go under their radar and get it into bookstores and such. Hey, Victor Thorne, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thanks a lot, Tex. Thanks for having me on.
You know, this book, 9/11 Evil, there are a number of books coming out about 9/11. I just read one by, or a review of one by Elsevier Nelson, a textbook publisher. It's a sort of an academic book.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others that are out, and many videos, of course, but none of them have courageously covered the material you have. So tell us a little bit about 9/11 Evil and why you wrote the book, please.
Well, 9/11 Evil, our website is wingtv.net, not wing.
Oh, my goodness. But, forgive me. Wingtv.net.
All right.
I'll get it right next time. Okay.
That's all right. And wingtv.net. But what I did writing this book was whenever you talk to anybody about Israel's involvement, their central role in 9/11, they say, oh, well, there's not that much information out there. So I started doing research and looked for months and started compiling all this information. And pretty soon, it got to be enough where it was book length. So the best thing about this book is that there's information out there, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit over on that side, a little bit on this side, but nothing that's ever been all brought together and put between two covers. So this is the first ever that really examines and exposes Israel's central role in a 9/11 terrorist attacks. And a lot of people say, well, 9/11 was an inside job. Well, of course it was an inside job. But the other part they forget is, or they exclude, is that it was also an outside job. And the inside job was the small cabal of Zionists in the Defense Department and in the White House that were instrumental in pulling this off. The outside element is the nation of Israel. And in this book, it's overwhelming how deeply involved they were in 9/11.
You know, a good friend of mine, right after 9/11, he lives in New Jersey. He's written a number of books, including one book exposing the Disney Corporation, you know, for its Freemasonry and all.
Mm-hmm.
Perry Ferrallo is his last name. I sometimes have a little hard time pronouncing Italian names. Perry Ferrallo, right, Senator? Perry sent me a news clipping from a newspaper, a daily newspaper from Weewawken, New Jersey. And I didn't see this anywhere else, and I'm sure you've done more research in this area than I have, Victor. But this newspaper, the whole front page was about a company called Urban Moving Systems, and had a picture. Now, this was in the Weewawken, New Jersey daily newspaper, had a picture of their warehouse where this supposed Israeli-owned moving company, Urban Moving Systems, was located, and it stated that this so-called company was raided by a SWAT team after reports that they may be somehow implicated in the 9/11 tragedy, and it turned out, and it, you know, I've got the article somewhere here in my file, but I didn't see that anywhere else. My good friend Perry says, look at this text, it looks like the Zionists from Israel could have been responsible for 9/11. Now, in your book, you talk about Urban Moving Systems and what happened in New Jersey, don't you?
Well, you're exactly right. Urban Moving Systems was owned by a gentleman named Dominic Otto Suter, who is an Israeli. He's listed on the FBI suspect list of being involved in terrorist attacks before 9/11. And you're absolutely right, Tex, that he was... he was met with by FBI agents initially after 9/11. They went back to Urban Moving Systems to find him again, but, no surprise, he fled. Guess where he fled? To Israel.
Mm.
Urban Moving Systems also, in March of 2002, was determined by American intelligence agencies to be a front, not only for the Mossad, but also for their operatives, and they were set up to launch intel operations against Islamicists. And this Urban Moving System was also very instrumental and linked to the Dancing Israelis. Now, I'm sure a lot of people listening to your show know about the Dancing Israelis. These were five art students, supposed art students, that were photographed on the roof of Urban Moving Systems in Weehawken, New Jersey, dressed as Arabs. And they were celebrating the 9/11 terrorist attacks. They were cheering, applauding. They even held lighters up in the air like they do at rock concerts to show their joy. So when you start looking at this stuff, and then you also examine what was found in their van when they were finally pulled over and arrested by the police, you start to realize that this whole bogus thing about 19 Arab terrorists is nothing but bogus, because if you ask 50 people on the street who were the first people arrested after 9/11, I'll bet all 50 would say Arabs. Well, they'd be wrong, because the first people arrested after 9/11 were Israelis.
Hmm. And what did they have in their truck? So you got me in suspense here now.
Okay, well, here's what they found. They found $4,700 in cash. They found foreign passports. They found box cutters. Now, everybody knows how famous box cutters became after 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
They had maps of different New York City monuments. They had photos of themselves celebrating in front of the towers when they were on fire. And they also found bomb-making material inside the vans. Now, the Bergen Record had evidence in a story they published linking them to a bomb plot. The bomb-sniffing dogs that came up to this van found explosive materials, and they were suspected of even trying to blow up a New York City bridge. And finally, last but not least, these five dancing Israelis, and here's their names, Tex: Sivan Kurtzberg, Paul Kurtzberg, Yaron Shamul, Oded Elner, and Omer Mamari, all Israelis. Their names were also found on a counterterrorist intelligence database, and it ends up that after they took lie detector tests, it was admitted that they were working for Israeli intelligence, posing as art students.
And they set up this equipment, this video equipment, on top of this building across the harbor from the World Trade Center towers. And so they obviously knew the event was going to take place, and they wanted to make a video of it, sort of like a trophy movie.
Well, you're exactly right. And here's what happened. They were arrested. They refused to take lie detector tests for about 10 weeks, okay, 10 weeks. When finally they did take the lie detector tests, they failed. Their Israeli lawyer named Ram Horvitz finally admitted that they worked for Israeli intelligence. Well, who freed them? Because they're not in jail right now. Who freed them? No one other than Michael Chertoff, who has a dual Israeli and American citizenship. Well, when they went back to Israel, they were interviewed on an Israeli television show, and they asked them, well, what were you doing on this roof in New Jersey? Why were you there? And they said that they were there to document the event. Now, Tex, ask yourself and all the listeners, how many of us knew on the morning of 9/11, say at 8 o'clock in the morning, how many of us knew that there was going to be an event in New York City? None of us did.
Mm-hmm.
But these Israelis were on this roof in a perfect vantage point to photograph the towers so they could document the event. Now, obviously, the big question is, how did they know there was going to be an event?
That's just an incredible. Now, let's talk about Odigo.
Okay.
And here is another shock that you've really covered well in your book. Here is a company that obviously also had advance information, and it's an Israeli company. Tell us about Odigo.
Well, Odigo is a company that's primarily in charge of instant messaging in this country. And I'm sure everybody knows what that is. You can send an instant message to someone on their computer. Well, it's owned by a guy named Misha Makover, who is an Israeli. The headquarters for this company are in Israel. And 2 hours before the 9/11 terrorist attacks, messages were sent to individuals in New York City via instant message, letting them know that there was going to be a terrorist attack in a couple hours. So all of these people fled the scene and obviously didn't get killed. Now, they're not the only ones, though, Tex. There's also a company named Amdocs that was in charge of all the directory assistance and all the phone records for 25 of the largest phone companies in America. There's also Converse Info Systems, which did all the computer wiretapping in this country. And finally, Checkpoint Systems, which installed the firewalls and the back doors in a lot of the government and defense contractor computers in this country. All of them are Israeli-owned companies. All of them have direct links to the IDF, which is the Israeli Defense Force. And all of them were very instrumental, because if you can get into the back door of a computer, or you can check all the phone records from phone calls, you can start setting up a legend, which is exactly what they did for these 19 quote-unquote Arab terrorists that ultimately got blamed for 9/11.
Man, and so evidently Odigo workers didn't go to work that day.
You're correct.
And they weren't they housed in the buildings there of the World Trade Center?
They absolutely were, and they didn't show up for work that day. And of the 3,000 people that got killed, now we know that the largest population of Jews in this country is in New York City. Of the 3,000 people that got killed, 1 to 3 were Israelis. Now, one of them was on Flight 93, or supposedly. There was only one person that died of all them 3,000. And you have to wonder, how did so few individuals of Jewish descent, how few got killed that morning? Well, Odigo is a very good place to start, because it looks like a lot of them were tipped off. And their owner, Misha Makover, admitted that these messages came through. I mean, this is all in the public record.
Well, I tell you. Now, back to Michael Chertoff. Popular Mechanics magazine, which has long been a very respected magazine here in the United States, put out an article recently debunking, supposedly, 9/11 conspiracy theorists. They tried to put a spin for the government and say, oh, it couldn't happen like the conspiracy theorists say it could. It had to happen the way the Bush administration says, meaning the 9/11. But evidently, Michael Chertoff, according to your research, had something to do with this Popular Mechanics in an indirect way, this article that they have debunking.
Here's what happened was, you're right, Popular Mechanics was a very well-respected and a pretty good magazine. But a few months before this article came out, there was a big shakeup on the editorial board of Popular Mechanics, and a lot of the people that had been there for years and decades got tossed out the door, and they brought in a whole new batch of quote-unquote experts, okay? Well, this article that you're referring to probably did more damage to the 9/11 truth movement than anything, and the chief editor of this article was a guy named Benjamin Chertoff, who's Michael Chertoff's cousin. He was in charge, and as we know, Michael Chertoff has dual Israeli-American citizenship, and he was in charge. And then, to make matters worse, I'm sure you know who Art Bell is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Coast to Coast AM, the big Freemason and so forth. Well, Art Bell, instead of bringing on any of the legitimate truth-tellers, he brings Benjamin Chertoff onto his show, which goes into about 8 million, or reaches about 8 million different listeners. And for 3 hours, they did nothing but spread this Zionist Popular Mechanics propaganda. And to make matters worse, within the next couple weeks, Popular Mechanics is going to publish a book now debunking 9/11. So the magazine article wasn't bad enough. Now they're bringing out a book. And I'll bet you, when you look into the copyright page, I'll bet you see Benjamin Chertoff's name there also.
Well, you know, we know that since World War II, particularly, much of the American media has been owned by the CIA, the Defense Department. You know, I can name you entire publishing houses in New York that are run by Jews, by the way, Jewish editors and publishers, that are basically just, they're just mouthpieces for the establishment, as well as, you know, many of the think tanks furnish us all the talking heads on CBS, ABC, Fox News, and so forth. And you know about those also. So doesn't it surprise me at all that they control Popular Mechanics? Recently, Warren Buffett, who's very connected with Jacob Rothschild, Lord Rothschild over in England, Buffett gave out billions of dollars to the Gates Foundation for charity work. I don't know if you remember seeing that in the newspaper recently.
Mm-hmm.
They said he was, you know, one of the stingiest men in the world, Warren Buffett. But suddenly he wants to do this wonderful thing, give billions of dollars to the Gates Foundation. Gates, of course, is Jewish, a secular Jew. But I've done some research on it, and come to find out the Gates Foundation was recently criticized slightly by the media for spending hundreds of millions of dollars this very year to buy up newspapers.
Wow.
They're going across the United States buying up newspapers. They needed some more money. They got an infusion from Warren Buffett. Buffett was forced to give up this money because, after all, they made him a billionaire in the first place. And they said, cough up the money for the Gates Foundation. So rather than doing charity work to feed the hungry in Africa, Victor, the Gates Foundation is buying up newspapers, including the San Jose Mercury News.
Oh, that's interesting, because they were doing some of the best investigative work back in the 90s. They're the ones who exposed all of the LAPD and the CIA bringing the crack cocaine into Los Angeles. And Gary Webb, the reporter that reported on that, ended up dead last year. And after he wrote these stories, there was so much pressure on this newspaper that they ended up taking Gary Webb and putting him out in the middle of nowhere, writing stories about, like, traffic incidents and things like that. They basically just hung him out to dry because he did such a damning job in exposing this. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, now we know that Buffett, the stingiest man in the world, let go his billions of dollars so they could buy up all these newspapers. I think they own probably 95% of the American media, but they still had a few chinks.
Yeah.
And I believe Popular Mechanics probably was one of their acquisitions too, don't you?
Well, it sounds like it would fit right in. And I guess with Bill Gates, it's not enough to own all the computers in the country through Microsoft. I guess now he needs all the media on top of it. So
yeah, people were wondering, how is this going to feed people? All, you know, he bought a newspaper in Denver, and I think there's four, and you can, just in the news the last couple of days, you might look up newspapers and Gates Foundation, Melinda and Bill Gates, and I think that's quite interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Jewish connection here. A man named Silverstein is focused on a little bit in your book.
Well, this is very interesting, because I'm sure most people know that Larry Silverstein was the owner of the World Trade Center complex. He was a guy that went on PBS on a show called America Rebuilds and said that WTC 7 was pulled. That's lingo for a controlled demolition. Well, what most people don't know, now Larry Silverstein, of course, is Jewish. He has very, very strong ties to two former Israeli prime ministers, Ariel Sharon and Benjamin Netanyahu. And in fact, every Sunday for years and years, Silverstein would talk to Netanyahu on the phone. And Netanyahu's a warmonger bar none.
Mm.
But not only do we have that Israeli connection, but the mortgage holder for WTC7 was the Blackstone Group. Their president and CEO is a guy named Steven Schwarzman, Jewish. Their chairman, Pete Peterson, is Jewish. He was the CEO for Lehman Brothers, a Jewish bank. The guy that negotiated the deal from the Port Authority to Silverstein was a guy named Louis Eisenberg, Jewish. So every single person involved in this transaction was Jewish, and they were also on the planning boards of something called the United Jewish Appeal, which is a big Zionist charity, and also AIPAC, which is one of the most, if not the most powerful lobby group in Washington, D.C. So every major player was Jewish in this transaction.
Now let's look at Silverstein. Now, some people out there would say, but wait, this poor guy, he lost his buildings. I mean, he owned these buildings worth billions of dollars, these buildings, and they were blown down. How much did he lose out of this?
Well, I don't know how much precisely he lost, but I know that he made billions off of the insurance money.
Oh.
And he bought these buildings, Tex, for nothing, because for years the Port Authority wanted to dump these buildings, because these towers, because they weren't profitable. They couldn't keep them fully housed with businesses, and they were pretty much a nightmare. Plus, on top of that, they were filled with asbestos, and they were told that within the next few years, they needed to rip all the asbestos out of these towers.
Oh my
well,
goodness.
They did the calculations, and the cost would have been over $1 billion to rid them of the asbestos. So, knowing that nobody was going to shell out $1 billion, why would Larry Silverstein, a very good businessman, buy these buildings? Well, it ends up that only 2 months after he bought them, they're leveled to the ground, and he makes billions in insurance money.
Wow, that's just an incredible thing. Your book. Hey, tell people how they can get 9/11 evil.
Just go to wingtv.net. Right on the homepage there, you'll see a big picture of the cover. And it's subtitled Israel's Central Role in the September 11, 2001 Terrorist Attacks. And we call it the most dangerous 9/11 book ever written because, Tex, most people, even in the 9/11 truth movement, won't touch this book because it's so dangerous. And the information in there, for some reason, they want to keep it out of the hands and away from the eyes of people that want to know the ultimate truth about this. But I'll tell you, we're already... In a week and a half, we already went into our second print run, and I'll bet within the next couple of weeks we're going to go into our third. So people out there want to know the truth, and just thank God they do.
So they go to wingtv.net.
Correct.
And there you have a picture of the book, I think, right there on the home page, don't you?
Right on the home page on the left-hand side. If they click on that, all the information comes up. There's about half a dozen reviews and overviews of the book and... You know, quite a bit of information.
Okay, so they can order the book on the net. Now, is there any, a phone number or anything they can call, or simply or solely on the net right now?
We can't handle credit cards over the phone, so the best way is PayPal right there. We sell it for, it's only $6.99, so it's accessible to everyone. And, you know, they go there, and there's also an address. If they don't like PayPal, they can also send a check or money order, you know, via the mail.
Well, PayPal is a very good thing. It's very secure, so they don't have a problem. And $6.99, $7, folks, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, this book is worth three times that amount. $6.99, this is the expose book. I don't think there'll be anything like this unless Victor Thorne decides to do an expanded edition of it, because there's nothing like this out there. This is full of facts. You must have this book. I totally endorse this book. In fact, we're going to see about possibly ordering it for our own ministry to offer. But right now, the only way to get it is to go to wingtv.net. You'll see a picture of it. Click on, tell you how to get it, order it right on the internet. And how long will it be before they get it if they order it, Victor?
We ship same day.
The same day. Okay.
So when we get the orders, we ship them out. If not that day, then the day after for sure. So it's an immediate turnaround.
Okay, that's great. Now, by the way, Victor, I understand you're going to be a speaker at the American Freedom Press's Free Speech Conference in Washington, D.C. You and is Lisa going to be there too? Lisa Giuliani, your sidekick on the...
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and we can't wait to see you. And Tex, we just want to tell everybody out there that if anyone would ever walk into our library, some of the books they'd see is Codex Magica, Codex Magica, Dark Majesty, Circle of Intrigue, Days of Hunger, Big Sister is Watching You. I mean, you've done so much work, not to mention your DVDs. And every time you're on our show, we just get a great amount of feedback from you. And, you know, when it comes to putting books out and exposing this information, you've been doing it longer than we have, and you're just doing a fantastic job.
Well, I appreciate it, Victor. And, you know, it's so mind-boggling, but the more I get into the Zionist thing, I think this is the key to so much that I have to say I was not aware of. And I pray that more and more people in the truth movement will begin to understand this. Well, folks,
You know what? I just read an interview with you in Paranoia Magazine.
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you what, I think, the best interview I've ever read with you anywhere. And you had one quote in there where you said, I can't remember it exactly, but something about, it doesn't matter who the sacred cows are, you're not going to stop exposing the truth, you know, regardless of whose toes you step on. And it was just a fantastic interview.
Well, apparently you have the same belief system, and I appreciate that, Victor. You sure do. Hey, we've been had, as a guest, Victor Thorne of wingtv.net. Tremendous new book, 9/11 Evil, the most dangerous book you'll ever read about 9/11. This is Tex Mars. It's been a great pleasure being with you today. We've had a volume of secrets, and then my good friend Victor Thorne from wingtv.net. I pray that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.